morning. So, guess how much we made on the garage sale? $35,700. And, you know, they're probably going to announce it this morning. It might have changed a little, but as of yesterday, I mean, my goodness, you sell something for a dollar and you make $35,000. It's beyond me. It's a God thing. And I'm so happy. And thank everyone that prayed and came and worked and helped. It was so much fun. It's just so much fun to get pooped for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, stand up, Marcia. She is modeling the most beautiful outfit she got at the garage sale. Everything she has on is from the garage sale. Okay, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we ask you to just bless us as we study together. We bring our hearts to you this morning. We ask you to do heart work in our lives. Just speak to us, Father. Instruct us in the way you would have us to think, in the way you would have us to walk. Father, make our lives count for your kingdom. I pray, you know, that our church will count for your kingdom, but that's going to mean that each one of us must count for your kingdom individually because we are the church. And we pray this morning that you would use this study and our time together in a most effective way. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is what we're studying, learning contentment. And we are on chapter 4 this morning. And I hope you did your homework. And I'm so glad you're here. Now, you and I are at school together this morning. Remember, we're going to school together because Paul said he learned contentment, and you and I are in school. We're in Contentment 101. We're learning contentment together. And the writer of our curriculum mainly has been Paul, but some of it was written by whoever wrote Hebrews. Nobody really knows. A lot of people think Paul wrote Hebrews, but I'm not sure who did. But I'm really loving this study. And I've had good feedback from different people in the class who are telling me that they're loving this study too. So I hope that's true in your life. Well, our wonderful, delightful lesson last week that we had on the sin of grumbling and murmuring and complaining. I know you really enjoyed that. And then the garage sale week came where we were up here from can to can all day long, and there was all this opportunity to grumble. What a shame that every time a grumble would want to come out, the Holy Spirit would say, no, 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 that is not the way you're to walk. And I just love how the Word of God instructs us, because we saw last week that you cannot be content and then at the very same time be a grumbler, a murmurer, and a complainer. The two do not go together. And so let's write some things on our handout. We're seeing that in order to be content, let's just see what we're learning. We must first learn to identify discontent that has crept into our hearts. Now, this may mean that you need to, in your prayer time, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Holy Spirit, would you show me in my heart where I am discontented? Because you know what? For lots of us, it's been there for quite a while, and it may feel so normal to us we don't even recognize it. So ask the Holy Spirit to do heart work and dig out any discontent. Holy Spirit, bring it into the light. Show me. I want to see it for the ugly thing that it is. I want to identify it. And then number two, after it's identified, we must confess it as sin. It is sin. It is ugly sin. It's such a bad sin. We saw last week in Numbers that the earth opened up and swallowed up all those people. They went alive straight to Sheol, the Bible says. Then the earth closed back up, and not only that, as the grumbling continued, I think it was like 100,000 more people died. It was a mess. You know, it might just be such a habit for us to be discontent, dissatisfied, a grumbler, that the next thing we will have to teach ourselves to do is this. And this is number 3 on your handout. We're going to have to teach ourselves to resist the temptation to be discontent. We're going to have to be actively involved. And so every day as I'm walking in my life, in my world, when that temptation comes, I'm going to recognize it and I'm going to tell it no. And I'm going to say to myself, I will walk in obedience. I will walk by the Spirit. I will not listen to that old stinky flesh that wants to complain, because I want my life to honor God. And lastly, which brings us to our lesson today, number 4, we must replace discontent with true Christian contentment. Teresa, will this be easy? And the answer is no, it will not be easy. It's going to require determination. It's going to acquire your attention. It's going to mean you're going to have to pray about it. It's going to take much practice on your part. Because remember, we're learning new spiritual skills together. And learning in any area requires concentration and it requires effort. And so our chapter this morning is Godliness with Contentment. We're going to be looking this morning out of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, you know 1 Timothy. We've been there many times. Paul is instructing his young son in the faith, Timothy. And that instruction comes to us, and it serves us well on our journey this morning into learning contentment too. Now, there was a real problem in Paul's day. It's a problem in our day. It's a huge problem in our day. And here is what it is. There are just a proliferation of false teachers, false preachers, and they are in it for the money. They are. They're making bukoodles of money. And so when you come to chapter 6 in 1 Timothy, We come there, and Paul is warning Timothy. Now look, Timothy, they're out there and don't have anything to do with them. And he sums it up in verse 5 on your handout by saying who, and he's speaking now of these false preachers and teachers, who suppose godliness is a means of gain. You know, they really don't love God. What they really love is money. And so they think, if I can get into being perceived as godly, then I'm going to be able to sell that and peddle that and make a lot of money. Well, I can get on the speaker circuit, and I can write books, and I can teach in seminaries, and I can do a lot of things, and I can make a lot of money. And Paul says that these men, they have corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth. I'm just summing up what he says. Because godliness is not to be a means for you to make money, to get rich. But on the other hand, I want to say this too this morning. Because if you will, as a person, in your business practices, if you will be godly, as you work, and you're in your workplace and godliness is just oozing out of it, if you will combine with that a solid work ethic that says, I'm going to be excellent in everything I do, You can expect God to bless that enterprise. And guess what? You will make money. You see, I'm not saying making money is bad. What I'm saying is taking godliness, faking godliness for the purpose of making money, that's a hypocrite. That's a hypocrite. Now, here's the thing about money. You cannot take it with you. You will never see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. So Paul tells Timothy, now there's something you can take with you, and it's godliness with contentment. Now go to verse 6. But don't be like them, Timothy. Stay away from them, Timothy. But godliness actually is, he says, a means of great gain when it's accompanied with contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. But if we have food and covering, notice this, with these we shall be content. Now let's talk about godliness a minute before we go a little further in chapter 6. That's going to take me back to a very familiar verse for us out of 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Do y'all remember that verse? Well, we're going to start in verse 7. Discipline yourselves for what? The purpose of godliness. Do you remember that out of the spiritual discipline study? Look, Timothy, you need to be godly, and it's going to take discipline, and you've got to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Go to verse 8. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness, notice, is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now, Paul says, Timothy, just look around you in your generation, and this was true of the Romans at this time. They were crazy involved in working out. By the way, they competed in their sports naked. I just think that's the craziest thing. And they wanted built bodies. And every city had a gym. And they worked out all the time. And it was all about being muscular and working out. And they were in training. And so, Timothy, everybody's crazy about training their bodies. But if you're going to go for training, Timothy, let me suggest to you, you need to train yourself in godliness. It's different than just physical training. You got to work so hard, you get those muscles, and then a month later, if you quit, what happens to those muscles? They disappear, don't they? You got to keep working, don't you? You know, it's just a little benefit. There is a little benefit in working out physically. I mean, it's not bad for you. It's good for you. But training in godliness, on the other hand, it has an eternal benefit. It's got a benefit that will never go away in eternity and also, look, also for the present time. It's good for now and it's good for later. So look, Timothy, you train yourself in godliness. You make your resolution to spend time in the Word of God every day. You cultivate obedience to that Word. You do it because true godliness will produce contentment. And it will bring great gain in your life. It will make you fruitful. So contentment, then, this morning, is a spiritual virtue that is born out of a godly life. They're linked together. So learn this, Timothy. Timothy, you train your soul. You train your inner man. Build his muscles up. And then he comes in verse 9 and he says this about what he has just said to him. He says, now, Timothy, what I've just told you, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. I've told you the absolute truth It's good for now. It's good for eternity. You can take it to the bank. And what comes out of it is the promise of life in eternity. Now let's talk about godliness for just a minute. Let's write some things down. Teresa, what is godliness? Well, it's reverence and it's piety. This was in your homework. It's all those good things that are associated with godlikeness. Godlikeness. Another thing you could put down would be the word virtue. And then here in chapter 6, let's go back now to chapter 6, we find now that in verse 6 again, that godliness is actually a means of great gain when it's accompanied by contentment. Now here is the bottom line principle that I want you to take away from our lesson today. So listen to this if you don't hear anything else, okay? Here it is. Godliness is linked to contentment. They're linked. So what I guess I'm saying this morning is, Teresa, I do want to be contented. Well, then you're going to have to be godly. There you go. Because they're linked. They go together. And there's great gain for us in true godliness. Now let's look at that word contentment there, because it was a word that was used by the Greek Stoic, and it was used to speak of some things. Let's write them down. First of all, contentment was used to speak of self-mastery. Self-mastery. It was used also to speak of the person who was unflappable. Do you know anybody that's just not flappable? Are you flappable? I like that word, unflappable. Lord, make me unflappable. All right, here's another thing to write down. It speaks of a person who was not moved by circumstances. No matter what happened, it just didn't move them. And it also speaks of the person who had the most noble of all human virtues. It's the ability not to control the environment, but to properly react to your environment. It's all about your reaction. Now, that's the idea of the word contentment in that verse. Let's write a few more things. It basically means to be sufficient, to seek nothing more, to be content with what you have. And it's a very, very noble human trait. But what we see Paul doing here in 1 Timothy, he's going to take it further than the Greek Stoics took the word. He's going to take the concept of contentment and he's going to sanctify it. So put that on your handout. He's going to make it a spiritual fruit that comes out of godliness. It's a spiritual fruit that's coming out of godliness. We're speaking of God contentment. We're speaking of Christ contentment. It's just more than me mastering myself and not letting myself flap at everything. No, no, no. Our contentment, write this on your handout, is related to the sufficiency of God and the sufficiency of Christ. You see, as I grow in godliness, okay, then I get this deep, settled confidence in my heart. It's like a deep conviction in my heart. And you know what it tells me? It says, Teresa, I want to be godly, and I want to accept what comes in my life, what God brings in my life, what God gives me in my life. I want to live within God's sovereign, providential will, and I want to seek to be like Him. And then I want to let everything else in my life just fall into its place as I trust him in all things. And so we're seeing, bottom line for today, contentment is connected to godliness, being godly. And godliness then in my life, look, it's going to be connected to me walking in obedience to my God and his word. They all go together. Now go back to chapter 6 with me in 1 Timothy. Did you notice it said there, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content? Let's go a little further. But those who desire to be rich, notice what happens to them. They fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I could teach, literally, on that paragraph for 4 Sundays, I know. But I'm going to resist that, Babs, because she's watching the clock. But here are some takeaways for us. Let's just write down a few things. Contentment cannot coexist with a desire to be rich. Godliness should be our desire, not wealth. I'm just giving you a few takeaways. Godliness should be our desires, not wealth. Now, if we want to be godly and content, we're going to have to forsake this greediness, this love for money, because the love of money is a guaranteed setup for traps and troubles, and it's going to bring much grief. Much grief. Go back to that verse I just read you, because the picture there is a picture of someone who is being drawn under the sea, and they're going to the bottom, and they're drowning. That's the picture. It's going to pull you down out of sight, and it's going to end in grief. Now go back to that verse that said, and if you have food and clothes. And in the Greek, the idea of shelter is included in that Greek word for clothes. So if you have food, if you have clothes, and if you have a place to stay, you need to be content. Seriously? I mean, is that it? No. This is where media gets us into trouble. Look at me. This is where media gets us into trouble. Especially women. Especially women. I mean, we're being bombarded by what we don't have. All the time. It's causing you to spend more money than you make. It's causing you to spend more money than you have. And then you have no extra to give to anything. I want to say this morning, ladies, let's simplify. Doesn't that sound good? Let's simplify. Really, all we need is just godliness with contentment. That's all we need. That's our last study, godliness. And this study, contentment, put together. I love that verse. Because those two things, according to the Bible, is the Bible true? Is it? Can you take it to the bank? You can. Those two things are great gain. That's what the Bible says. For this present life and also for all eternity. So I'm going to ask a question as I close this morning. Now, you get ready. It's a hard question. Do you have food? Do you? Okay, everybody's got food. All right. Do you have clothes? Okay, you do. And do you have a shelter? All right, ladies. That's it. Let's be content. Let's enjoy the blessings that God has brought us. Let's learn to be thankful, grateful, content in Christ and Christ alone. Contentment is not in stuff. That is a lie. Because you can never have enough. You can never have enough. Contentment is grounded in the promises of God. Let's look at the two promises that we camped on a few weeks ago in our lesson. The first one was out of Philippians. Philippians says, let me borrow yours, Laura, because I'm like the whole verse. I decided to put it all there. Not that I speak from want, Paul says. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And then the promise is this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then Hebrews, I love this out of Hebrews. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for God himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. I close with these reminders from our chapter. Listen to me as I read them to you. Pay attention to your heart and to any discontent that has crept in. And then forsake it, and then thank God for his forgiveness, and pray that you will notice when you're being tempted to be discontent. Learn to tell yourself no. Replace discontent with thankfulness. Remind yourselves of God's promises and his faithfulness, and remember God has given you the power to do all of this through his Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to break up in your small groups and spend time now on our questions. And I'm going to come back and close us in a few minutes. And I think we're going to start on page. I don't have my glasses on. Somebody help me. What page are we on? 38. Thank you. Our time is up. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for the good discussion and for all the things that we're learning. We ask you to bring us back next Sunday, Lord willing, and I pray for these ladies. Lord, may we be good learners. May we learn to be content. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week.